Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Upon his vesture and upon his thigh, he had a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's a joy to welcome you online. I have an invisible audience out here this morning, so just bear with me. It's hard to preach to a lumber yard. I've got two or three favorite people that are sitting around from here and there, but just about three or four of them. But anyway, I'm glad you're online. It's better to be online than offline, so stay online. It's great what God has done to give me in the technical ability to send the gospel to the ends of the earth. That's the commission of Jesus, remember. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We've come now to the very last Lord's Day of the year 2020, which has been without a doubt one of the most difficult, most trying, harshest, most unusual year that any of us can remember. But I'm glad that there's a brighter day tomorrow. 2021 will bring a new challenge, a new opportunity, new responsibilities, new obligations. We have a big world out there to reach for Christ, and it is incumbent upon us to do our best in whatever way we can to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. The Sunday school hour is an important hour. It's the preparation room for getting ready for the preaching hour. I'm glad we have a textbook. We call it the Bible. We know that it's inspired and it's infallible and it's inerrant. We know it's God's word. We know it's established forever. I remember growing up in my dad's Sunday school when I was just a boy. He had the motto for the Sunday school, teaching the whole Bible to the whole Sunday school to enlighten the whole family to the whole truth. And this is the truth. Remember, Jesus in his high priestly prayer prayed, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So with that, I hope you have your Bible there on the desk before you, on the couch, sipping that coffee, sitting there in comfort of your pajamas. I hope you'll get ready to come to church later on. Everybody ought to go to church. Did you hear me? Everybody ought to go to church. This is God's house, and the church is God's people and the body of Christ, and he's the exalted head in heaven. Now, I want you to open your Bible. By the way, you know what happens when you open your Bible, so I'm going to tell you to open it as we open the mind of God and see what God's thinking about in the gospel according to Matthew, chapter number 6. I'm going to begin reading at verse 24, and I'll read down through verse 34. I'll give you in advance the topic of my lesson for today: winning the war over worry. Now, there's not a person listening to me that sometime or another, for some reason or another, think at least they have reason to worry. And a lot of people probably do. But much of our worrying is unnecessary fretting. We'll talk about winning the war after I read Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 through verse 34, and I'll read it after we pray. May we pray together. Our Father, we're grateful today for your kindness of bringing us around the Word today. It is an unusual circumstance, but you're the God of all circumstances. You were not surprised. You didn't wake up and say, what's going on down there at Worth Baptist Church or in Fort Worth, Texas, or over in Nashville, Tennessee? No, no, no. You didn't wake up this morning because you did not go to sleep last night. My Bible tells me that he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Open our hearts. Open our minds. May we be focused upon Jesus and focused upon the Word that has the answers to our question, has the solution to our worries, to our frustrations, our fears, our anxieties. May we see it in these verses today. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 24. Jesus is speaking. Listen to what he says. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to your stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles, the nations of the earth, seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Winning the war over worry. Worry comes from the Anglo-Saxon word, which means to strangle or to choke. Not physically, of course, but emotionally. A lot of people that you see walking around, all around you in the world, even in the church, they're choking. They're being strangled by this thing that we call worry. By the way, the word worry is not in God's vocabulary. There are 3 days in every week you should not worry. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. 3 words go together. Hurry, worry, bury. I read about a man that made himself what he called his Wednesday worry box. He built a little box with a slat in it, a slit in it, and every time that he came across something that he thought he was going to have to worry about, he wrote it down on a piece of paper. and dropped it through that slot into the Wednesday worry box. Guess what? When Wednesday came, he discovered that none of those things that he was going to worry about ever came to pass. In fact, a recent survey shows that 98% of all the things that people worry about never come to pass. The greatest weapon, please don't miss this, the greatest weapon against worry is faith. You see, faith and worry are like oil and water. They just don't mix. Faith will abolish your worries. Worry will abolish your faith. They cannot be mixed. They do not go together. Listen to what Jesus said. By the way, you know he's the greatest authority in the world. I mean, in the Bible, from the lips of Jesus, you can find words, you can find principles, encouragement that you can't find in any university or any psychologist's office or psychiatrist's office. It's right here in the book. And Jesus said it, Matthew 9:29, according to your faith, be it unto you. Jesus said in Matthew 17 in verse 20, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, remove hence and go yonder, and it shall remove. I'm just giving you what Jesus said. Now, you don't have to believe it. You can go on in your fretting, in your anxiety, in your worry, but take Jesus at his word. He said in Mark 11:22, have faith in God. By the way, where's your faith this morning? In the job that you have, the home you live in, the car you drive, the assets of your life, your retirement? Where is your faith? Jesus said, have faith in God. In Matthew 21, in verse 22, Jesus said, and when you pray, or as you are praying, ask, now watch this, ask in prayer, believing. Underscore that word believing in your mind. That's the key word, believing. Ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. Now you've heard me say it before, I'll say it again. You can pray, believe, and receive. Or you can pray, doubt, and do without. It's up to you. The plain formula is right here in the book. I hope you'll follow it through. Now I want to give you 6 steps on how to win the war over worry. Are you ready? Step number 1. Dedicate yourself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. By the way, who's your Lord? Who's your Master? Did you just take Jesus as your Savior and say, I'm going to stop him right there? Or did you open your life to him and say, Lord, you're my Lord, you're my Master, you're my Savior, you're my security, you're my standard bearer, you're my shepherd, you're my substitute, you're everything that I need. Lord of all, or not Lord at all. Look at verse 24 with me again. No man, that includes every person listening, whatever the gender. By the way, there are not but 2 genders, man and woman. God created male and female and nothing in between. I'm not going to charge you for that. That's just thrown in extra. But verse 24, no man can serve 2 masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Now look at that last sentence in that verse. You should not serve. No, 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 that's not what it says. You cannot. Cannot is cannot. You cannot serve God and mammon, or materialism. That's what mammon is. Money, materials, all these things that one day are going to be gone. All the gold, all the silver, all the platinum, all the diamonds, all the emeralds, all the jewels, all are going up in smoke when the earth shall melt with fervent heat. I advise you to put your faith, trust, confidence in something more than the material things of this life, because they will soon all be gone. Who is your Lord? Is Jesus Christ or someone else or something else? Acknowledge that there's one Lord and only one, one faith, one baptism. Jesus Christ is that Lord. So dedicate yourself to the Lordship of Christ. Make him the Lord of your life. Remove everything else. Do away with which would come in the place of Jesus, and dedicate yourself to his Lordship in your life. Number two, step number two, exercise faith in God's providential care. Did you know that God is not only interested in his creature man, but he's interested in the world of nature that he created? Look with me again in verses 25 and 26. Therefore, take no thought for your life. Now, Jesus will say that three times in my text. Verse 25, verse 31, verse 34. Take no thought. Now, was Jesus saying, well, just throw everything to the wind, roll a dice or flip a coin, and sit back and see what happens? No, no, no. What Jesus is saying is this. Do not allow the material things to take the thought, the dedication, the commitment, the surrender of your life. It all belongs to Jesus. In other words, he's not saying you don't have to be concerned about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear. He's just saying don't let those things dominate your thinking. Think above those, beyond those, because the body, Jesus said, it's more than clothes, more than food, more than meat. It's not only the satisfaction of the physical things in life, but it's the incorporation of the spiritual things. Man is more than a beast. Man is more than animal. Man is spiritual, and only the spiritual can satisfy. So Jesus says, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or not yet for your body, what you shall put on. Some people are more concerned about how they look than how they do. It's more important to know how you do than how you look. Now, we all want to look nice. I think God wants us to look nice. But don't let those things override the most important thing. He says again, he gives us an example, the birds. Of late, I've become a bird watcher. I have bird baths, and I have bird feeders in my backyard, and I have, sitting at my desk in my study, I have six large windows, 4 by 6, 4 feet by 6, so I can see all around. I watch the birds come. I watch them drink. I watch them eat. And then some days, and this has been true for the last week or 10 days, I have not been physically prepared to go out and lift the water and put the seed in, but I've known that they've gone away. But you know what? God's taking care of them. I don't have to worry about them. He said he would. Consider the fowls of the air. By the way, did you ever see a bird sowing seed? It says they sow not. And, of course, they don't reap. If you don't sow, you don't reap. Nor gather into barns and store up for the winter. No, no, no. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Don't you know that God, who made you in his likeness and in his image, the birds are not made in God's likeness. Our feathered friends are just not made in the image of God. But we are, and God, according to what Jesus said, God believes we're more important than the birds that he will feed. You got to come down to verse 34. to understand what it's all about. Jesus says again, take no thought. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. Watch this. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. By the way, you can't do a thing about tomorrow. You got to live through today first. Don't worry about tomorrow. Jesus said, sufficient unto the day. You have enough things to take care of today without being worried about or trying to take care of things of tomorrow. Sufficient unto the day, he said, is the evil thereof. God takes care of the birds. God takes care of the little flowers. Someone wrote, said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush around and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think it must be. They have no heavenly father such as takes care of you and me. I promise you folks, this is on the words of Jesus. He said God would feed them. The same God who takes care of the birds will take care of the Baptist. I'm convinced that we're more important than the birds. Let's start trusting God. Let's start believing what God said. You know, we say, well, I believe the Bible, I believe it. But do we really believe it? If we really believed it, would we act sometimes like the way we act? If we really believed it, would we think sometimes like we think? If we really believed it, would we invest our money like sometimes we invest our money? Or take care of our business as slovenly as those who don't care? God help us to have faith in the providential care. He takes care of those birds. Number three, this is step number three. Acknowledge the futility of worrying. How futile it is, verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? There's no way that you can improve matters simply by sitting around and worrying about them. Get busy and do them. Work hard. Never quit. Finish strong. Take God at his word. Believe the Bible. Believe Jesus. Do what he says do. I promise you, if you go to bed worrying at night, you're going to wake up with a dark brown taste in your mouth the next morning. Someone said that worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but gets you nowhere. Step number four. Consider what God does for the world of nature. Verses 28 and 29, look again. Verse 28, and why take ye thought for raiment, for your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not. You ever see a flower out there working the ground? Absolutely not. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Please don't miss this. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Can you imagine Jesus comparing a little flower that grows up today, is cut down tomorrow, is dried up and gone, to a man like Solomon, who wrote 3,000 Proverbs, 1,005 songs, who had an income of $20 million a year in gold beside the taxes, the tariffs, and investments. A man who spent 13 years building his house. Can you imagine how he was arrayed when he went out to sit on his throne and to address his people? And yet Jesus said, Solomon, not even Solomon is arrayed like one of these little lilies that's growing up out here. What a comparison. God's got it all, ladies and gentlemen. Step number five. Trust the promises of God. Trust the promises of God. Verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Where's your faith this morning? Remember, Jesus said, have faith in God. Remember, Jesus said, according to your faith, so shall it be. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. Not according to how much money you have in the bank. No, no. Not according to what your retirement program looks like. Not according to what your books of finance look like or books of education or anything else. But according to his riches. How rich is God? Did you ever think about it? Well, he said the cattle of 1,000 hills are mine. The silver and gold is mine. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell therein. God, listen, God has got it all. And guess what? He wants to share it all with you and me. But my God shall supply all your need, not all your greed, not all you want. Sometimes we want the wrong things. And we live long enough sometimes to discover that what we wanted was not really what we needed. And it was not really what was best for us. My God, Paul says, shall supply all your need. By the way, all you need is all you need. And the only need that God cannot supply is the need that you do not have. Worry will do three things to you. It denies God's power. It disavows God's promises. It discounts God's presence. That brings me to step number 6. Learn to live one day at a time. Verse 34. Take no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day, this day. Deuteronomy 33 and verse 25. Moses wrote, and this is one of my favorite verses, hidden away back in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 25. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. You've learned that, haven't you? If you've been a Christian very long, if you've lived very long, you've learned that day by day, God gives you the strength. I've learned it in my life, and I trust that you have as well. Remember what Jesus said? I go quoting Jesus again. You know I love to quote Jesus. If I had any higher authority to quote, I would quote. But because there's no higher authority, I'm going to quote Jesus in Matthew 6:11. Give us this day, not this week, not this month. Listen, you can't live in this week. You can't live in this month, this year. Give us this day, our daily bread. Remember, whom God controls, he patrols. He'll see you right through it all. Now, I've got an idea that you're going to need some vitamins to follow these 6 steps. I'm not selling vitamins. You won't even need a glass of water to take the vitamins I'm going to give you. Are you ready for them? Vitamin number 1. I call this my waiting vitamin. It's prescribed in Isaiah 40 and verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What a promise that is. My second vitamin is the fear not vitamin. It's prescribed in Isaiah 41 in verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You ever think about how many times the right hand is used in the scripture? Only once or twice I've ever heard about the left hand. Sorry about that, left-handed folks, but the right hand speaks of power, position, prominence, all of these things. He will uphold us by the right hand of his righteousness. And some near-to-well guy said, if you fall out of his right hand, he'll catch you in his left. So don't worry about it. Fear not. You know, fear is the first things that a child learns, a baby. They learn to be frightened before anything else. And many of us go through all our lives being frightened by this and that and the other. But remember, he says, fear not, fear not. This is the fear not vitamin. Number three is the fret not vitamin. It's prescribed in Psalm 37:1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious of the workers of iniquity. That's a great thing, isn't it? Fret not. Don't be disturbed by. Don't become frustrated by. Don't worry about those things that are going to pass. Vitamin number four. I call my trusting vitamin. It's prescribed in Psalm 37 and verse 3. Trust in the Lord, do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So what God promises you by trusting in him is a place to live and food to eat. Back over in my text, did you know the only essential things you have in your life? Listen to me. Food, clothing, and shelter. That's the only three essentials. If you came to church in a car this morning, you came in a bonus. That's not essential. God gave you 2 feet to walk. So food, something to eat, something to wear, somewhere to stay. God promised all three of these essentials. But aren't you glad that God is good enough to give us a few bonuses? Everything we have above, food, clothing, and shelter, is a bonus. So in my daily prayer, I thank God every day for blessings, benefits, and bonuses. All of us have a lot of bonuses. We take them for granted. But God blesses us with all. All right, that's vitamin number four. Vitamin number five, I call my delighting vitamin. It's prescribed in Psalm 37:4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You know, God's a great healer. He's a great provider. He's a great giver. The desires of thine. Now, as long as our desires are in line with his will, but those things that we desire that are outside the framework of his will, he doesn't promise those things. Those things that are within the framework of God's will. And you say, but is God really a healer? Well, he didn't heal my wife. He didn't heal my husband. He didn't heal my child. Now, wait just a minute. God has a lot of ways of healing. Sometimes God heals through a miracle pill. Sometimes God heals through a doctor's prescription, medical authorities. Sometimes God heals through death. And that's the most permanent of all healing. And I'm sure there's not a person listening, wherever you're listening, in whatever country, whatever city, wherever you are, you wouldn't call one of your loved ones who's gone to heaven back to this cruel world in which we live. They've been healed permanently. My sixth spiritual vitamin is one I call my committing vitamin, prescribed in Psalm 37:5. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring it to pass. God promised he would do it. Do we believe his promise? Remember, according to thy faith, be it unto thee. Have faith in God. If you had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. What kind of faith do we have this morning? Weak faith? Trembling faith? Half-hearted faith? We need wholesome faith, real faith, true faith, strong faith, fervent faith, faith that's based on the Word of God. We can't put our faith on in the history books or science books, medical books. Now, all of these have their place. Don't misunderstand me. I know that as well as you do. But here's the book where we have to put our faith. This book. Within this ample volume lies a mystery of mysteries. Happy is they of human race to whom their God hath given grace to read, to fear, to hope, to pray, to lift the latch, to force the way. But better had they ne'er been born than read to doubt or read to scorn. We search the world for truth. We call the good, the true, the beautiful, and from graven stole and all old flower fields of the soul. And weary seekers of the best, we come home laden from our quest to find that all the sages said is in the book our mothers read. Thank God for Bible reading mothers. I told you this before. Some of you may have heard it. Many of you out there listening somewhere else, you probably haven't. But my mother went to heaven when she was 29 years old. She left behind six children. I was the youngest. Three boys and three girls. By the way, the three girls are in heaven, and two of my brothers are in heaven. Have a lot of investments in heaven. But at night, I can remember so vividly calling my dad to my bedside, and I would say to him, Daddy, there's something going on down here. There's something happening in my heart. I'm just a kid, 8, 10 years old. And my daddy said, son, let me tell you what's going on. God is answering your mother's deathbed prayer. And here it is, he said. Dear God, please call my sons into the ministry. Well, four out of six of us were called into the ministry. And I'm glad today that I had a praying mother. Her funeral was conducted by 12 of independent Baptist preachers. Every one of them, by the way, all this is a matter of record, read from the King James Version of the Bible. Thank God we didn't have wars over, is this the right version? Is that? We just believe the Bible was the Bible. And we believe the King James Version is still the Word of the living God. Six medical doctors were her pallbearers. 29 years old. She must have been a wonderful woman. I only have one image of my mother, just one. I was only two when she passed away. And I remember when I was lifted up by a neighbor. Back in those days, they brought the bodies back to the home and had the wake at home. So a neighbor lifted me up in her arms, and I looked down in the casket, and I saw the beautiful form of a precious mother who loved Jesus, who prayed for her sons, prayed for her family. And she read the Bible. Let's pray. Father, I'm grateful for mothers who read the Bible. I'm grateful for people who believe the Bible, who obey the Bible. I'm grateful for preachers who preach the Bible, who proclaim the unsearchable riches of our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, our Savior and Sovereign and Sufficient One. I pray for those that are listening now and closing out the Sunday school lesson, wherever they are, should there be those without Christ, may they put their faith, their trust, their hope, their confidence in Him and just admit that they are sinners and ask You to save them because they believe that Jesus died for their sins. I pray it would be so in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.